Yo, 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 I think it's time to let it go. Looking for a little love, FAO. Y'all, it's a special set piece, the Banta Pub. You know what it is. We're talking about the best international tournament of all time, the African Cup of Nations. And what a tournament it has been. It has culminated with two great matches. Words can't describe how amazing this tournament was, truly, honestly. I'm Jonathan, here in the building, with Amma, Neil's in the building, Ross is in the building, Joseph's in the building. Fellas, let's start with the final, because what a moment for Senegal. First time winning the African Cup of Nations. Alou Cissé, 20 years he needed to redeem himself. After losing in the final, losing again as a coach, 2019. Redemption for Aliou Cissé. And redemption in a small way for Sadio Mane, who missed the penalty to begin the match. And redeemed himself by scoring the penalty that gave him the first title. First African Cup of Nations. Amma, how are you feeling about this? What are your thoughts?
You know I'm ecstatic, right?
Get the foo-foo out.
Exactly. I'm not going to say who, but somebody told me that foo-foo is greater than falafel. And and they were right, you know, because in this match where, you know, there was one team that was playing to win and there was another team that was playing not to lose. And, you know, as it stands, you know, I mean, it seemed like part and parcel of the Egypt strategy was not to be their best. Sans the keeper. The keeper was amazing. But the rest of the team didn't seem to be, like, on 100%. Granted, they didn't have as much rest as Senegal. But for me, the match ended as it should. You know, there was a lot of fanfare about Egypt not having missed the penalty. And so that's part of their strategy throughout the tournament. And so that was part of the strategy in, you know, playing this weird conservative game. And, you know, maybe hoping to nick it or just play for extra time. Play for PKs, and it did not pay off. I also thought that it was also remarkable that, you know, Mane got to take his penalty and Salah did not. You know, it was already lost. You know, so there are a few lessons, I think, embedded in the narrative of the game. But for me, it was all about West Africa lifting the cup. It's an amazing, amazing experience. Even as a fan from far away, I felt super connected to my Senegalese brothers who got to do it big in Cameroon.
Yes, sir. Just seeing Aliou, I keep mentioning Aliou Cissé, but it was so emotional for me just to see what he's gone through. One, being there for like so long, eighth year now, just seeing the emotions that he had. He collapsed on the pitch in tears. It's like, man, I wanted to cry with him, man. That was so emotional for me.
Yo, so I'm sorry, but like coming into the tournament and actually in the early stages, if you read the media, there were lots of indications that folks were not super happy with his management. They felt like he was not tactically up to the task anymore. They felt like his time at the helm had ran its course. And I just thought that was pretty cruel. You know, it's a pretty cruel assessment of things, especially because, you know, they made the final, you know what I mean, prior, right? Mm-hmm. And they were still progressing through this tournament. So it felt like, you know, undeserved criticism, especially when any African team is willing to get, you know, the random, you know, kit man from a fourth division in Denmark to coach their national team. He did the business on the pitch. He's shown his quality as a coach and for years, literally getting you to the final, right? And so it's just one of those things that we got to get that mindset. We need to shift the mindset across the continent, embrace your ex-players, embrace coaches from your countries. Nobody feels it like you're nobody understands your players like your people, like your players. So mm-hmm. I think it's time. And I think hopefully the rest of Africa will take this lesson. Don't throw away your legends.
Burkina Faso's manager said almost exactly that same thing. So for real. Joseph, how are you feeling? What are your reactions?
Oh, man. Well, I didn't know going into this that the press were on Alou Cisse's back like that. Because that makes it even more baffling to me. Because as far as I'm concerned, Senegal have proven themselves to be not only worthy champions, but the most consistent team out there. You know what I mean? They dispatched anybody that they put in front of them. They hardly slipped. They hardly put a foot wrong. They played absolutely sensational stuff in the final as well. You know what I mean? It was, by all accounts, Senegal versus Egypt's goalkeeper for about 110 of those minutes. Cumulative, I'm talking, because there were chances that that Egypt had, and most of them were carved out from nothing by one Mohamed Salah. You know what I mean? But when you're up against Koulibaly in this kind of form, again, as El Capitan once pointed out on another one of these FAOs, I can't remember which one, like, you're not in the Premier League anymore, big man. You know what I'm saying? These lot already have you figured out, scouted. You know what I'm saying? So maybe Koulibaly might look a move to the Premier League now. Who knows? But all I know is that the word of the day is vindication for Senegal. But Alou Cisse, for all of the apparently incredibly harsh press that he's gotten, knowing that Senegal have done the business, and he's purely vindicated for that. Edouard Mendy probably should now feel plenty vindicated, because there is not a single goalkeeper, apart from maybe Donnarumma, that has a patch on this man. This guy has won everything in sight since he's moved to Chelsea. He's incredible. And he really put in a massive performance. If Egypt's goalkeeper is worthy of man of the match, so too is Edouard Mendy. Unbelievable save. And I think the best one out of all of them was the one where he basically just saved an absolute peppered shot from maybe about 20, 25 yards out. And he just basically just hoofed it, like just parried it over the crossbar from the like point blank range. Unbelievable save. Like, Edouard Mendy is the man. He is the guy. And as far as I'm concerned, if we were giving it to David De Gea for not yet winning anything except points when his side really and truly should be winning them instead of him, then we absolutely have to give it to your reigning Champions League champion, your reigning AFCON champion. And I believe there's two other titles that he has won in the space of the last, what, year, I think it is? Kid sensational. Edouard Mendy is absolutely the Don, and he deserves every plaudit. And perhaps, you know what? Fuck it. Give him the Ballon d'Or. Wow. Who has played better than him in the last calendar year? Apart from Robert Lewandowski, but we missed that boat. You know what I'm saying? Who? Who? Name him. It can't be Mohamed Salah at this point, because when it mattered, Edouard Mendy said, you get nothing. None ya. None of you get any. The man is an absolute brick wall. I give it, and then of course, who else but Sadio Mane to score the winning penalty? Who else? Considering that, wasn't it him that missed the opening penalty in like 4 minutes?
It was him.
Vindication is the name of the game. That's the theme of this final. I really enjoyed it. I didn't catch the third place match, so you man can go ahead and have at with that. But I do want to go ahead and say this, as far as Senegal is concerned. Those scenes in Dakar, it was worth all of that. You know what I'm saying? Loved that final. And for a 0-0 match, it was absolute heart and mouth stuff. Mainly for the fact that Senegal came so close to scoring, but Egypt's goalkeeper was up to the task for 120 minutes. Fair play to that man. But the rest of his compatriots let him down that evening. Enjoyed it. AFCON is the tournament. We've been telling you this for at least 3 weeks now. So, yeah, accept it, embrace it.
It sucks that Eduard Mendy plays for Chelsea. That's the only thing.
It's the only negative thing on it. But there,
Neil,
yeah.
Neil, what are your thoughts on this final?
So, several things. First, I agree with Eduard Mendy being the goalkeeper of the tournament, well-deserved. I think that was one of the awards that he won. He also won, I think, Goalkeeper of the Year from the same body that awards the Ballon d'Or. So,
that's the one that I was thinking of. FIFA Best Men's Goalkeeper of the Year. He was in the best 11 of that. Yes.
So, I do think, though, that, I am interested in what happens now. Now that these players are coming back to their clubs, obviously celebrating, certainly Mane and, several other players, congratulations to all of them. Serious congratulations to, the team, the country, I think we retweeted from our account that the players didn't immediately go back to their clubs after winning. They stayed home for at least 24 hours so they could celebrate with their countrymen, which I absolutely loved. It gives Jurgen Klopp another reason to hate AFCON, which, he said as much before this tournament started. Not that I'm going to harp on the Liverpool manager too much, but I do think it says something that his two best players were in the final of the AFCON, and I remember what he said, and we've talked about it. I think in our very first FAO we talked about it, so I certainly recommend folks listen to that one again. And we certainly talked about it in an episode as soon as AFCON started as well. So definitely revisit that episode and definitely revisit that FAO as well. But as far as the tournament was concerned, obviously another paper bag country, North African country, has fallen. I've probably been the only one to say without bated breath that, it's just one of those things where, North African country that, for all intents and purposes, probably wouldn't want to be represented in Africa as a African nation if some of their leadership had a choice. I'm not talking about their footballing authority. I'm talking about their government authority, probably, and even some previous leaders of that country as well, certainly in that region. So credit to Senegal for doing an amazing job. Credit to the players, credit to the entire team for all the work they put in. I think, if I'm not mistaken, that Senegal was one of the favorites to win the entire tournament. I think And then what was also interesting was the map of Africa and how little of the African continent was actually rooting for Egypt to win. And it says something when Senegal has several talented players on their roster, and Egypt was really only relying on one. As Joseph said, did the goalkeeper have a role to play for a majority of the match? Yes. But when it mattered in the penalty shootout, he was not the better man. And Sadio Mane proved that when he shot that ball into the bottom corner.
Not too did Edouard Mendy, if we're keeping it a bean. He made the crucial save that set Mane's winner up.
Of course.
Yeah.
But I think and that's why I said credit to the entire team. And I think when you look at the makeup of the roster of the Senegal squad, and you look at not just where they played, you know, because some of the players don't play for big European clubs, right? Quote unquote. They play for countries, you know, in the continent of Africa and the surrounding areas. And it says a lot. And we've talked about it on several FAOs. I know I almost touched on it. I know, John, you touched on it as well. That, you know, just because a player is playing for a quote unquote small club in, you know, for an African league, doesn't mean that player isn't worth attention outside of AFCON. And there are several players that we've highlighted during the course of the FAO. Again, we're the only podcast in America that is covering the FAO on a regular basis. We're not doing it for clicks. We're doing it because we actually care about the tournament, unlike some other brands. And it rings true for the work that they put in, that this tournament that, you know, saw several legends come back to award the trophy. I thought it was a little odd that they had to walk the trophy up the stairs.
Yeah, that was weird.
The Cameroonian president, and then have him hand the trophy off to Koulibaly.
Paul Biya is not about to make that walk, bruh. That man is older than dirt, and he's been at the head of that country since, or the head of Cameroon, since I was a little youth. Like, this man has been the head of state. Doesn't he have the record? Correct me, John, if I'm wrong. In Africa. Like, this man is the
longest.
He's the longest serving head of state. He's ducked all the, you know, all the L's that he should be taking. So yeah, that was just another L, I think, for the nation of Cameroon, who should have been really proud of themselves for hosting such a fantastic tournament. I think I will, as a side comment, say that the pitches were really quite nice. They exceeded my expectations by, you know, the standards of prior AFCONs and et cetera.
Right, because some of those pitches, like just in general, have been diabolical, to say the least. So, yeah, I think that's right. I think coming from the tragedy that happened at that same stadium, maybe just a week before the final, that they ended it well, they ended the tournament well. I still haven't heard any next steps that came out of that. I hope to hear something before AFCON 2023, which is only 18 months away for those that are counting down. And the highlight for me of the final was Vincent Aboubakar, head to toe in Burberry, collecting his trophy his award. I think he had the Golden Boot for the tournament.
Definitely got the Golden Boot.
Yeah.
that man. Oh, the memes were amazing. And, you know, people said he came to make sure He saw his haters crumble. You know what I mean? Like, he needed to see that in person. He was cheesing. He got his trophy. I'm really happy for him specifically, but Cameroon in general. We got to get to that match, the third place match as well.
Let's get to it. Let's get to it right now because, you know, as emotional and powerful this final was, the third place match was, I would say, obviously not the same level, but powerful nonetheless, amazing nonetheless. What a comeback. It was, for those that have not watched any AFCON tournament matches, Burkina Faso versus Cameroon in the third place match on Saturday. Cameroon 3-0 down at halftime, came back, won in penalties in just shocking fashion when the goals came in. I think both the equalizing goal came in like the 89th minute, I believe. Amazing match. Yeah. Go ahead, man. Let them know.
Yeah, I was watching this one. I was live tweeting. It was fantastic because, you know, I at 1-0 down, you know, it looked a little weird. You know, it looked like Burkina Faso were going to settle into the match. They were quite sloppy to begin. Then they scored their first goal, and then they seemed like they settled down. They got a little more confidence. Then they went and scored a second goal before halftime. And I was like, yo, these people, Cameroon, are in the mud. You were supposed to win it all. And, you know, you took these horrendous penalties against Egypt. And that's why you're not in the final on home turf. There, you know, and there's a thing about AFCON, like, it's extremely rare for the host nation to win AFCON. That's just how it goes. You know what I mean? Like, that is how AFCON is. No rules except throw out the old rules. And this guy, Vincent Aboubakar, came on. I don't know. Well, actually, I thought it was actually nice for Cameroon. They started a bunch of players who hadn't played a lot, who hadn't gotten a lot of minutes. I felt like they did kind of the right thing to make sure folks featured and got some exposure. But when they went down, they all bets off. They're like, yo, bring on our guy, right? Bring on the real captain. And then things started shifting. But before that happened, Burkina Faso scored a third goal. So they were down 3-0 in the second half, Cameroon. Right. Next thing you know, they get one back. And I'm like, uh-oh, you know, it wouldn't be AFCON without a little drama. And then Vincent Aboubakar comes on, and in the 83rd minute, scores to make it 3-2. And you're like, is it possible? Is this really going to happen? And Burkina Faso at that time didn't have anything going forward. You could tell they were kind of beaten and they were shook in that moment. Like, we cannot allow this to happen. and then next thing you know is like a really weird, sloppy play outside the box. You know, ball goes up, keeper comes to claim. And Vincent Aboubakar challenges for it. And, you know, there's a little bit of contact between him and the defender. Defender goes into the keeper. The keeper drops the ball for none other than the Golden Boot winner to slot home his, what, eighth goal of the tournament? Man, it's an insane goal record, right? Yeah. To tie it up. And there was like because of the keeper's quote-unquote injury, it was a huge delay, went to VAR, blah, blah, blah. It took forever to confirm that third goal. And it finally was. I mean, it probably took 5 minutes to get full confirmation. And, you know, and so we're deep, deep into injury time. And then, of course, because it's a third place match, no point in doing extra time. They went straight to pens. And, of course, I mentioned the terrible penalties that Cameroon took against Egypt. So you're like, I'm sure these guys are not. You made the comeback. You have to give it your everything. And they did. You know, I love this match. It was probably one of the more dramatic ones. It's, you know, it's up there with Ghana Gabon. To me, an instant classic. I hope the rest of y'all, if you haven't watched it, even the highlights are amazing. Do it. Like, if you haven't watched it, watch it.
I got the highlights on right now, but what I will say is that I'm sad that I missed this match, only because I could not spare time to watch one of them, so I decided to go and watch the final instead. And yeah, what I said about Burkina Faso at the very beginning of the tournament seems to ring true here at the end of their run. No matter which way you want to slice it, a 3-0 lead only to then lose on penalties, that is an almighty collapse. You know what I'm saying? Like, is even more of a tragic collapse than the group stage match. And if I'm not mistaken, was it not against Cameroon? Was Cameroon not in their group? Or did I make that up?
No, Cameroon was not in their group.
Who was it in their first match where they had them, they scored a wonderful goal, and then they went on to lose it in spectacular fashion? Who was that against?
You can find that
first
out.
Match. Sure. Opening match. It was the opening match of their group.
No. It was Cameroon. It was Cameroon.
Oh, okay. I apologize.
I'm pretty sure it was Cameroon. I'm almost positive. They took.
Yes, it was. Yes, I remember.
Because Abubakar got, I think he got a pen, right? Like a half pen. Like right before.
There it is. I knew I'd seen this shit before because I was just a goddamn minute. You had these men on the ropes again and you let it slip again in spectacular fashion. Again. Yeah, bruv. Don't come back to AFCON in 2023. I don't really. You're not ready. You can't be giving. Bruv. An absolutely spectacular goal they scored in the group stage. No? Did we not rave about that?
It was a boss goal.
Right. We thought Cameroon, boy, host nation, yikes. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is not a good look, but they sorted it out. You know what I'm saying? Once again, host nation, 3-0 down this time. All sorts of disarray business going on, as Armour detailed earlier. And they do it again.
I'm sad for them, but they made it exciting. And as we said, Vincent Abubakar, heavily deserved Golden Boot, heavily deserved play of the tournament, probably. You know, maybe Newcastle will pick him up. Who knows? Maybe they've taken a look at the match. It's like, hey, you know, let's sign him up too. Give him 50 mil. Give El Nassr 50 mil and we'll be all right. So there you have it, AFCON 2021, played in 2022 because of COVID, obviously. The greatest tournament in the world. We'll be back as FAO because the World Cup qualifiers are happening next month with the same team that won the final, Senegal versus Egypt. And let's hope, well, let me not hope for the same. Let me not say I hope for the same results, but that's what's going through my head right now. Joseph, any last thoughts?
So let me get this in really quickly, because I think this is something that definitely needs to be mentioned now that Senegal have proven themselves kings of the African continent. In the last 2 years, Senegal have had to deal with catastrophic flooding, 140 people who tried to migrate to Europe drowning off of the coast of Senegal, with 60 of them getting rescued, but 140 people drowned, right? You had the clashes after, what was his name? Ousmane Sonko was detained. And then, of course, he went on to go ahead and get charged with rape. You had Papa Bouba Diop, a Senegalese legend, dying in 2020 at 42 years of age, which is... You know what I'm saying? That. You've got continued pressure on the current president, of Senegal. You've got their music legend in Tione Seck dying at 66. You've got the ongoing issue of women's autonomy in Senegal. At least they were one of the 57 countries mentioned in the UN report about having their bodily autonomy properly respected. You had the former president of Chad dying at 79 of COVID as he was serving a life term in Senegal for war crimes. You had so much going on. There was ongoing hand-wringing about the Pink Lake, where a lot of pink salt is harvested. There's environmental issues there. And then finally, you also have the fact that Watford are being accused of blocking Emiliano Sarr's participation in Senegal's triumphant win. The Senegalese Football Federation said that, you know, if you didn't release the player, we're going to go ahead and get FIFA to go ahead and release him. You had that drama there.
Yo, so wait, real quick. This is Ismaila Sarr, who dropped two on Liverpool to kill their hopes of being invincible. I just had to drop that. I will always love this man, Ismail Assar.
Big up. Trust me. But I mean, yes, what it comes right down to is that even with all that, Senegal are your African Cup of Nations champions. And quite frankly, that is no easy feat. That is a nation that still manages to carve out so much hope, so much adversity. Big up Senegal forever. You guys deserve to be champions. Thank you so much.
Well said. Well said, Joseph. Big up to Senegal, for real. It was emotional. It was emotional. And so that will do it for AFCON 2021, y'all, at the World Cup qualifiers for Africans Only, Banter Pub, Sauciest Team in the Game, Spiciest Takes on the Pitch. Follow us on Instagram. Follow us on Twitter at The Banter Pub FC. Shout out to everybody that stay with us, rock with us for FAO, the inaugural edition of FAO. Let's continue to keep it rocking. For me, Jonathan, I'm with Amma, Joseph, Roz, Neil. Peace, and see y'all next month.